Chase and Big Joe is live at the Omni Nashville Hotel here at Bar Lines. Hope you're having a great start to your day. We see you people out on the street looking at us. We appreciate it. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos back of the studio. Jake is here as well as our on-site engineer.
It could be on-site.
And we're excited. We have a packed show today.
We do. And excited from top to bottom. Get you ready for the weekend. All the good things. We're going to make you laugh today. Probably make you cry a little bit. Make you think. I mean, it's a full day when you can do all those things.
It is. It is. It definitely takes you through. So we're excited about all of that. John Crist is going to join us, the comedian, at 2 o'clock today. But before that, we're going to talk to some high school football coaches at 1:30. And before that, at 12:30, Mike Greenberg from Get Up on ESPN is going to join the show.
Nice. We are not. I'm not. Do not ask him any Jets questions.
We're required to.
Do not ask him any Jets. Yeah,
they specifically said Big Joe Dubin has to ask.
Well, he feels the pain that we do here over his Jets that we feel over the Titans here in
Maybe
Nashville.
I'll ask him that. What's worse, being a Jets fan or a Titans fan?
I'm just curious. What's the view outside the bubble of Nashville? Does anybody really care about this franchise?
The answer to that question is probably going to be, you guys have a team?
They probably didn't care when the Titans made the Super Bowl in 99. Like, what, huh? So, good. Get his perspective of things that are happening. So, I don't know. I mean, I love Thursdays because we're at the Omni at Bar Lines. It's beautiful. We got people down here. It's fun. Jakey Baby's here setting things up for us. And it's kind of an unofficial launch to the weekend at noon on Thursday.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it definitely always feels good to be able to come here to Bar Lines and hang out.
So. Yeah, so it'll be fun. And there goes the is that the Nash Trash Tour?
Yeah.
Make its way downtown.
You used to work there, right?
I worked there for 7 years.
Wow.
Yep, never got paid, though. They're like, what are you still doing here? Like, I got something to
do. You just started showing up. Is that what it was?
I did. And they're like, hey, we're going to hire you so you'll leave and go home and stay away from us. So do that. So a lot of fun. All right. So I'm excited about our question.
Okay. Well, you go ahead and do it.
All right. Our question of the day. We love it. The response we get from you guys every day is a lot of fun. 615-737-1025. Today, we want you to describe the state of the Tennessee Titans with a real country song. So much how you feel about the Titans or the state of the Titans with a real country song. So for me, mine's easy. And I heard on the way in today, here's how, when I think about the Tennessee Titans, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right, by Barbara Mandrell. I still believe in this franchise, even though they've given me no hope, but that's my song. So describe how you feel about the Tennessee Titans with a country song. Mine is, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Shout out to Barbara Mandrell out there in Hendersonville.
That is a good one. For me, it is from the late, great Tammy Wynette. D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
Oh,
because
that's
what's about to happen to Brian Callahan.
Oh, that's excellent. That's really good. Oh, man. That's it. So let us know, 615-737-1025. Call or text. We love it when you call. Even Clay, we love it when you call. Let us know how you think about the Titans. Describe with a country song.
Oh, they're already coming in. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. And, of course, as always, our question of the day is presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ArriesTactical.com. Some that, let's see, 9680, Better Class of Losers.
That's a great Randy Travis song. Well done.
Michael and Madison, instead of being an NFL owner, Bud Adams should have been a cowboy. Tommy, Jesus, take the wheel.
Oh, these are great.
0862, bug in the windshield. Bug on the windshield.
Oh, yes.
William, whiskey lullaby.
Oh, this might be the entire show today.
0178, there's a tear in my beer.
Oh, yes.
2181, fishing in the dark. 6765, he stopped loving her today.
These are all so good, man.
Tommy also says Morgan Wallen's falling apart. 8566, This Is Easy, Hurt by Johnny Cash.
What's the opening line of that song? I died today, or whatever it was.
I hurt myself.
Hurt myself today.
That's what everybody says when they watch a Titans game.
Oh, man. This will be good.
So keep the – Dr. Crane, you got one?
I do. I just had it on my phone. Somebody said Whiskey Lullaby. Another one is If You Are Reading This, and then that's it. It's by Tim McGraw.
Oh, that's – yeah. We just saw Tim.
Is that the song about the soldier doesn't get back from Iraq?
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. Oh, wow. Okay.
8771 says, going through the Big D and don't mean Dallas.
Oh, man. That's what they've brought us to. We have to do that.
8395, ain't as good as I once was. Travis Tritt's Here's a Quarter. Call Someone Who Cares.
What's funny, that song 30 years ago, people were like, a quarter for what? I mean, there weren't cell phones 30-plus years ago. And that was a great song, too, back in the day.
6727, don't believe this is a country song, but I'll read it anyway. I Hate Myself for Loving You. That's
right?
A good one, though.
Hate myself. Oh, Joe Jett.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Wes in Clarksville, Achy Breaky Heart.
Good one. See, every one of these has been perfect so far.
7229, Mama Tried, and Amy Adams' Mama. that is a good one.
Oh, my gosh.
This is a good question. Fred wants to weigh in on our song. Fred, what you got?
Well, there's a song called Take This Job and Shove It. You can change it from a player standpoint, take this job and shove it. And from a fan standpoint, it's take this team and shove it.
Yep, that might work.
Fred, that's a good one, Fred.
That is certainly a good one. 615-737. 1025, our question of the day.
Our buddy Bart Barker out in Wilson County. He says, Marty Stewart, touch me, turn me on, and burn me down. Thank you, Bart.
8955, Cody Johnson, Till You Can't. 0178, TROUBLE.
Yeah. My God.
Oh, these are fantastic. So we will have that question of the day throughout the show. I am curious of Mike Greenberg, like you said, his kind of thoughts on the Titans, on Cam Ward, on Brian Callahan to this point. As someone that, you know, hosts a lot of their NFL coverage.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a Jets fan, so he knows pain. But I'll be curious to kind of get his thought. Like, I wouldn't be shocked at all if he goes, guys, I'm just going to be real with you. They come up in production meetings and we're all like, yeah, move on.
Yeah. I mean,
I wouldn't blame him.
Who do you talk about? Cam Ward? I mean, that you're 0-3, and there's not really anything that, like, okay, you got hope of this, hope that. There's really nothing you could bring to the table with those meetings. And beyond, how's the number one pick doing? There's nothing to talk about. That's sad, too.
It is very sad. you know, Callahan, of course, has denied the a fire sale after trading Jarvis Landry or Jarvis
Brownlee. Hell, who knows what their names are anymore over there. So many guys coming through and going out there. Watch Brownlee have like two interceptions this weekend and a pick six for the Jets to get things done. Look, if he's not the right fit for you, move him on. That's it. Somebody on one of the shows yesterday was talking about getting rid of all – maybe Robbie and Rexer, my favorite radio show in America, talked about, are they trying to purge – most of Rand's guys.
Yeah, I would say so.
And then if you can get some value back for them, why not? Look, they know the season's a wash. They already know this. Yeah. So now, through the fire sale, get the capital, get the assets, and move forward.
Absolutely. But, you know, I think the question is going to come up with a lot of the fans. Do we truly trust this group to do it right? Right now, I trust Borgonzi. I'm not so sure about Brinker, but if Borgonzi's the one actually making the picks and drafting the players, which is what a lot of people have said is the case.
Right.
You know, this class right now seems to be decent. Now, I don't know about Oladejo as a second-round pick, but time will tell. Winston's got to get on the field eventually, but you know, it's still obviously a work in progress.
Yeah, I'm looking up now, and of course my computer stopped. The last team to have back-to-back number one overall draft picks, and was it the Jags? Oh my gosh! Hold on, I'm getting it here. Don't believe in me, Chase. 2017-18 Browns had number one back-to-back draft picks. They did Myles Garrett and Baker Mayfield. 17-18. The Browns had it 99 and 2000 back-to-back draft choices. Somebody said the Jags popped up, but I didn't see the Buccaneers. It's only a few times in history. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times have they had teams had back-to-back number one draft choices. And the Browns have 2 of the 6. The Bengals have 1. The Buccaneers have 1. The Eagles in the 30s have it. So to be bad is one thing. To be back-to-back bad, that's another thing. And right now that's where the Titans are headed.
Indeed, that is exactly where they're headed. And, you know, I heard Jake and TD kind of talking about the draft in September, and I was like, oh man, this is
– can't do it.
And they both said, like, I hate talking about the draft in September.
But
this is where we're at.
I saw mock drafts are taking the defensive end out of Miami at number 2, yeah. number 3, or number 4.
Jesus.
I'm like, why aren't you picking at number 1? Because that's where you're headed
to do that. I would say – I think the perfect scenario, if all this continues to go the way that it's going, is what the Titans need to hope happen is they get the number one pick. There's a quarterback that a team falls in love with. They trade back, get more draft assets, and then can get one of those edge rushers, you know, get the edge rusher.
Get somebody, right?
Top three pick or something like that. A couple more songs real quick. 3337, Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. It could be two-tone Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain.
Right.
Let's see. Instead of Goodbye Earl, it'd be Goodbye Brian.
sing that song, will you?
You Never Even Called Me By My Name, David Allan Coe.
Who would that be to whoever they cut and didn't know their names?
Yeah. Tyler says, if it were during the Todd Downing era, Drunk on a Plane.
Shouldn't laugh at that.
Tommy,
that's funny.
I'm so lonesome, I could cry. Even for Derek, The Dance by Garth Brooks. That is a good one.
Could have missed the pain, yes.
But I'd have to miss the dance.
Right.
We will have more coming again. Mike Greenberg from ESPN and the show Get Up. He's got a book out. He will join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Chasing Big Joe here on this Thursday live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines, 102.5 The Game.
Listen up. We are way crazier than that. We play fantasy football, dude. That's crazy. First of all, watching football is a fantasy, okay? We can't do it. We watch other guys do it. Fantasy football is a fantasy of the fantasy because that team wasn't doing very good, so we created a new fantasy to figure out if it, you guys get it, you're Cowboy fans, you know what I'm saying? Just like, no. So you're like, maybe I can win it this game. You know what I'm saying? Just make it one, that's one step. And then before the football season, you'll see this. There's 3 grown men on television and they were doing a mock fantasy draft. A fake draft of an imaginary league of a fantasy. Like, fellas, how far from reality can we get? He's like, I just picked up Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, pick up your daughter from school, dude. He's like, dude, your wife is about to be a free agent, dude. It's like...
That was John Crist, who will join us at 2 o'clock today on Fantasy Football.
Yes. Love it. He's got a sold-out tour. He'll join us here at Bar Lines at the Omni National Hotel. Come down. Nice little crowd in here hanging out and everything. So excited to have John at 2 o'clock. Mike Greenberg at 12:30 today. So a lot of fun.
Yes, going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot going on.
I'm very
distracted. taking your calls, your text, 615-737-1025. Our question of the day.
Describe the Tennessee Titans with a country music song. Describe the state of the Tennessee Titans right now with a country music song. 615-737-1025. And we have been inundated, and we love this.
Inundated? Inundated.
Inundated. What did I say? Inundated?
Inundated? That sounds bad.
Isn't that something on ER? Incubated?
Incubated.
Inundated. How do you say, what's the word?
Inundated.
Inundated. Okay. Inundated. Yeah. Inundated. Inundated.
Good Lord.
I think I know what I'm talking about.
4836, why'd you come here looking like that, Queen Dolly?
Oh, that's a great one. Oh, yes. This is all good.
This is a great text, 2181. I genuinely feel bad that most of you have to find things to talk about with the Titans on the daily. What else is there to say besides they're just bad? Play calling, bad. O-line, zero. Offensive talent, rookie quarterback. It's all a recipe for disaster. Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, we got a board in Chase's office. We write down all these topics. I'm telling you, after like the fourth, we're like, all right, what? I mean, it's tough. I mean, they're right. It's tough talking about a bad football team.
1024, you ain't much fun since I quit drinking.
Who knew there's so many great country songs to describe the Titans?
0178. Amy, what you want to do?
Oh, yes. Our good friend sings that.
He doesn't sing it. He plays on it.
Oh, does he not? Oh, he sings Let Me Love You Tonight.
Yeah. No, God, but Pure Prairie League, he was the guitarist.
Okay.
Vince Gill.
But he sings the other one, right? Let Me Love You Tonight?
I guess. Yeah, I think
okay.
so.
Okay. There's a million stars in the sky.
TD from Nashville, I've got a song perfect for Titans fans, The Righteous Brothers, You've Lost That Love and Feeling. And this one for Callahan's demotion, Marvin Gaye, You Got to Give It Up.
Oh, man. You know, it's funny. Somebody asked me yesterday, it was a tweet, like, then they don't know our backstory with Nick Holtz. They're like, why is not the OC calling the play? And I tweeted back, like, you got an hour for me to explain? And it's one of those things where people are like, all right, is his feelings hurt? He had to skip over Nick Holtz to do that. If you're worried about a coach's feelings at this level, get out.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Let's see. A lot of there's a tear in my beard. That is the number one. Jay from Laverne says, save me by Jelly Roll. Matt, friends in low places.
Oh, yes.
That's a good one. Let's see. Chris, we aren't the champions. William, and I will always love you. 0040, Burning It Down by Jason Aldean. 6765, I'm No Stranger to the Rain.
Oh, yes. You know how much we love Keith Whitley.
Don't Close Your Eyes could also work.
Don't Close Your Eyes, right?
I know you loved another team.
What, Miami, Miami? Maybe she can send Amy to Miami.
Jansen wants to weigh in on our question of the day. What you got?
Yeah. Let's Fall to Pieces Together by George Strait.
That's a good one.
That's a good one, Jansen.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. 615-737-1025. I mean, this is really where we have gotten to.
It doesn't work for the Bengals or the Saints because it's not the country music capital of the world. It works in Nashville where we have one of the worst football teams in the world.
And they're not getting any better. That's the best part. Now, here's the other thing that I find interesting. I think Cam Ward knows what to say at the right time. So when he was asked about working with Bo Hardigree, I think it's going to be great. He understands the offense as a whole. He understands where my head is at, just what I see on the field. He has experience with the Raiders, and he's been around some great quarterbacks. Whereas a few days ago, Callie's a great play caller. Everything's fine.
What if they ask Cam Ward about Hardigree, and he's like, oh, my God, we're not.
What are we doing?
We're not going to win a game the next 3 years. I mean, this guy couldn't play dead in a cowboy movie. I mean, all the analogies you throw out there. For once, right? We've talked about this. If a player and a coach was to be honest with us, just be honest.
If he was a second or third year player, do you think he'd be more honest?
That paycheck's pretty strong.
Yeah.
I don't know. But would it not be? We have discussed this, how – you know, National Signing Day. Ah, we got a great class.
Yeah.
We'd like for a coach to say, you know what? I'm probably going to be fired after the third game.
Right.
This is the worst signing class ever, and most of it's my fault.
Well, I went to – so there – me and my buddy Logan went to a show one time, and there that we knew the artist, like the guy that was had the band, and he goes, I got my new album's out. And Logan goes, is it any good? He goes, no, it's
is it any good? Was it any good?
Yeah, it was all right.
Okay.
Yeah, all it was right. Good. So
I mean he's gonna say that, but like Callahan on Sunday, like, you know, I'm not giving up the play calling, and then 40 hours later I'm giving up play calling and
right.
It's gone.
Right. Well, because again, I think we all believe that he was told, hey, you're going to give up play calling.
I mean, Mike Greenberg's going to join us in about 7 minutes. I'm curious to see if there's any talk about Callahan not knowing the rule in the field, about going for a field goal at the end of the first half. I'm just curious what their thinking is nationally outside of Nashville. Are we thinking the same thing here in Nashville?
Yeah.
Like, it is truly bad. I mean, it is a bad situation with a bad coach and a bad team. And you're taking on another bad team who's just as desperate as you are on Sunday.
I'll laugh if he's like, yeah, I think the Titans are kind of in a group of teams that nobody really cares about.
They are.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, outside of people here, and I don't even know how much the people here are caring as much.
So this will be the fourth year they didn't make the playoffs after this, because they're not making it this year. After a string of making it in 19, 20, and 21, you can't. I mean, the playoff taste is good, right? I mean, that's a good taste to have, like your team's accomplishing thing. You're getting talked about, and now it's just like, oh, my Lord.
Yeah. So we will talk to Mike Greenberg from ESPN coming up next. Looking forward to that. We're live today at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Thursday, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. And we're excited about our next guest. You see him on ESPN on Get Up every day, and also does their NFL coverage on Sundays, and was a longtime member of ESPN Radio as well. Mike Greenberg, Greeny, is on the line with us. Got Your Legends is his new book that is out now. Greeny, how you doing?
I'm doing great, fellas. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thanks so much for doing this. I want to know more about your book here in a second, but you're a Jets fan, so you understand pain. Is it as bad as maybe what we're going through in Nashville right now with the Titans?
Well, I think it is worse for the Jets because I am of the impression that the Titans have the one thing that is going to ultimately rescue them from the abyss, and that is, I am a huge believer in Cam Ward, and whatever it is that's gone wrong these first 3 weeks, and I understand it's been a little ugly, that I have not been dissuaded from that. And I don't know how you guys feel about it, but, you know, I cover the draft for the network, and so we did all the work on all these guys, and I am a huge believer in Cam Ward. So the first year, I don't know that it's unreasonable to think that there wouldn't be bumps in the road, and I don't know that the coaching is where it needs to be. And there are a lot of pieces around him that are going to need to be changed, and he needs to get better, and he will. But I believe the Titans have the first and most important step towards getting back to where they want to be, and the Jets do not.
Well, and you kind of alluded to it there. I mean, you work with coaches, you work with DMs. I mean, you've seen this for a long time. With Brian Callahan now giving up play calling when he initially said he didn't really want to do that, he does it. I mean, do you think that this is one of those situations where he's essentially a dead man walking and they're going to be making a coaching change sooner rather than later?
Yes. I mean, barring a turnaround that I don't think most people expect, yes. It certainly feels as though it's headed in that direction. And look, you if you're a coach and you're supposed to be an offensive coach, you don't. How many quarterbacks do you get? Like how many chances do you get before it is demonstrated that you're not getting it done and so it needs to move on to someone else? I'm not in the business of calling for people's jobs, but this has been ugly, and it certainly feels like a change is coming. What the first step towards that change is taking away play calling responsibilities. Sometimes assistants get fired or moved around, but it certainly feels like in the end there'll be someone else coaching the Titans next year, if not sooner than that.
We're talking to Mike Greenberg on the Chase and Big Joe Show, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lions here in Nashville. And Mike, when you think about the Titans, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Not currently, but overall, when you think about the Titans, what comes to mind first to you?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, obviously, for so long, it was all about Vrabel and Derrick Henry and sort of power football and what the, you know, the good years they had with that, the year they had that one seed and it didn't get as far as they would have liked, the year that they made that run all the way to the conference championship game on the back of Derrick Henry when people didn't expect that from them. That's probably the most recent image. And then obviously Will Levis and that experiment, we all expected Levis to hear his name called earlier that night than he did. There were some who thought he was an absolute steal in the second round. That obviously didn't go well, the enormous mistakes that we saw from him early last year. So in recent memory, those would be the things that I think of. If I close my eyes and picture the Titans, what I mostly picture is Steve McNair and Jeff Fisher and a tackle on the one-yard line and stuff like that. But that's obviously at this point generations ago. I guess the more recent thing I think of would be those Derrick Henry teams.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people outside of Nashville think about the Titans go back to McNair and Eddie George and Jeff Fisher because it's just they don't get talked about here a lot with this. And now with the team being 0-3, at least, Mike, you gave Titans fans hope about Cam Ward. We're big Cam Ward fans on this show, and the fact you think he's that quarterback, that means a lot to Titans fans. So thank you, Mike, for giving hope to Titans fans today.
Are there, or is that not the consensus feeling? Are the fans there generally turning on the quarterback this quickly?
No. They understand that, but after Cam Ward, there's not a lot of hope, and there's a lot for this football team going forward. So the fact that they've got a foundational piece who's recognized like that outside of Nashville, I think goes a long way, Mike.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the kid is special. And I think he has a chance to be great. Now, there are more good young players, particularly quarterbacks in the NFL, who get ruined than get developed. And that's always the concern. We've seen it happen a lot. The Jets have done it a lot. So I've seen it up close and personal a lot. And that is certainly a possibility. No one is too good to overcome that stuff. No one is too good to fail in the NFL, particularly at that position. Look at the quarterback who went number one the year before him and Caleb Williams, who came in more hyped and with greater expectations than Cam did and walked into a situation so bad that he basically has to unlearn all of the things that happened in his first year. So you can, I mean, steps backward can be taken, and really talented players at that position in particular can be ruined, which is why I think you have to be wary and make moves judiciously and aggressively around him. But in a vacuum, I think he is an outstanding talent who seems to have all of the, and you guys know him better than I do, but everything that I hear, all of the right, you know, first guy in, last guy out, all that kind of attitude stuff, that those are the things that it takes to become a successful quarterback. Now you need to put the right people in his ear and around him on the field.
Mike Greenberg is with us from ESPN. Got Your Legends, ranking America's sports franchises and their most iconic figures. Your new book, tell us a little more about it.
Well, I couldn't be more thrilled than I am with this one. This book is a really special one for Hembo and me. It's the third sports book that we've done, and it's by far our biggest and most expansive concept. So here's what it is, guys. We take every team in the four major sports, so every team in the NHL, the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball, 124 teams, and we choose their Mount Rushmores. We choose their four franchise faces, the four greatest legends of each of these franchises. And then we take all of the teams and we rank them. So we rank them in order from 1 to 124. So there's two different things that fans can decide. Do you think that we got the order right? And then do you think we got the right franchise faces for your team and for others? Hopefully that will create a lot of discussion and debate. I've been thrilled the last few days with all of the stuff I've heard people saying and sending me notes online and all that sort of thing. And then most importantly to me, whether you agree or disagree, I wrote long essays about every single team and all of these legends. So there's a ton of sports history in the book as well. And if you would like, I'd love to hear if you guys want to guess who we chose as the franchise legends, the four faces of the Titans franchise, which of course does go back to the Houston Oilers. I'd love to see if you think I got them right.
Okay, Earl Campbell.
Yes.
Warren Moon.
Yes.
Steve McNair.
No, we did not go McNair, which was a very, very tough choice.
Okay. Eddie George?
No, we actually went more recent than that.
Derrick Henry.
We went with Derrick Henry, yes. And then the fourth name is Bruce Matthews, who was a Hall of Famer and an under-remembered, I think, all-time great player from back in the Oilers days. And I know that's a lot of Oilers and not a lot of Titans. That really was a tough, when we came down to the quarterback between Moon and McNair, we had a very tough time because obviously Steve McNair had an outstanding career and shared the MVP award that year and was 1 yard away from having a chance to win a Super Bowl. But we felt that Warren Moon, among the things that we take into account is not just a player's greatness, but the significance of their career, the cultural importance of their career. And Warren Moon was such an incredibly important figure in pro football history for so many reasons that we chose him above McNair, which was a hard choice, but I defend it. I think it was the right call, one way or the other. That's the beauty of the book. I know some people will disagree, and those are the conversations that I would love people to be having right now. There's so many things we can be disagreeing about, and there's nothing better than disagreeing about sports over a beer, and I hope that's what everyone will do and will enjoy the book.
I love it. Mike, let me ask you this. I know you're a Jets fan, but I've told Chase all the time, I think the most important, impactful NFL player or professional football player of all time, Joe Namath. Do you agree?
Well, I think that victory, that win, the Jets victory in Super Bowl III, which Namath legendarily guaranteed, is the most important game in pro football history. It's one of two. The greatest game ever played, which is what they call the 1958 NFL Championship game, which was the first ever overtime game, and it was televised, and it was Johnny Unitas and the Baltimore Colts against the New York Giants. And that was described as the greatest game ever played, and it is credited with bringing a lot of fans to football that had not previously been interested. Super Bowl III saved the Super Bowl. There have been so many stories written, and we wrote about it in one of our first books. The concept of the Super Bowl was very much in jeopardy after the first two. The National Football League was so dominant in the matchups against the American Football League. No one felt that they belonged, that the AFL deserved to be on this sort of equal footing. After the Packers just obliterated Kansas City and Oakland in the first two Super Bowls, that had it not been for the Jets, who were an 18-point underdog winning that game, there may not have been a fourth Super Bowl. And when you consider what the Super Bowl has become in our society and our culture, it's not only, I think, the biggest event that we have in America every year in sports. I think it is the biggest event we have in America every year in anything. I think you can certainly attribute a lot of that to Namath and to the Jets. So in that regard, I think you could make an argument. He's among the most important football players that ever lived. Yes.
Love it.
Real quick, Mike, because you have the NHL too, I'm curious at the Predators because, they're still a fairly new franchise. I have to assume Pecorine is at the top, but I'm curious of where else you went with this.
Let me get to their page very quickly here. I should have had that ready, and I apologize that I did not, but I will find them for you quickly. Go ahead and throw some names out there that you're expecting. When I get to the page, I'll let you know if you had it right.
Pecorine, Shea Weber. Are you including active players?
Yes,
or do they have
two. I got it. Yes, active players can be on there. Yes, Pecorine and Shea Weber are both on.
Roman Josi.
Correct.
And Philip Forsberg.
That is not. We did not go with Forsberg. No.
Is it Paul Kariya?
No.
Wow, David? I don't.
David Poile.
No, David Leguan.
Oh, David Leguan.
David Leguan.
Okay, all right, David Leguan. Yeah, the first pick. That's good. Okay, all right. I have no issues with that.
Defining player in some ways, and again, I appreciate your saying that, but if you have issues with it, that's the beauty of it. You know, we made our choices based on the priorities that we sort of put in place, and that's what I'm hoping is that it'll generate a lot of conversation and that sort of debate. So if you think we got it right, great. If you think we got it wrong, then I would love to hear from everybody on social media and wherever else, because these are exactly the kinds of conversations I love to have.
How long did it take you to do this book?
So I do the books with my right-hand man, Hembo, who has been my researcher going back to my Mike and Mike days. He is the best sports researcher in the business without close competition. And so the way we do these books is he does all the research. We have the idea to do it. He goes off, creates these databases, finds things that I can't believe he finds. And then we sit down together and make the decisions over, you know, using all of his data, and then I write them. And that's the process. That's my writing, his research. And it's and that way, I think it's a really good combination. So Soup to Nuts, it probably took, this one was by far the longest, so it probably took us about a year to do the entire thing from beginning to end.
Very, very cool. Got Your Legends, ranking America's sports franchises in their most iconic figures. You can get it on Amazon right now. Mike Greenberg has been with us. Mike, thank you so much for doing this. We love you here in Nashville, and enjoy your work on ESPN.
Well, thank you so much. And I just mentioned very quickly, you mentioned Amazon. They are doing a special price right now while I'm doing this radio tour, which I've been on for the last 2 days, and today is the last day. So anyone, if you are interested, my endless thanks for your support. If you order from Amazon right now, you will get it at a special discounted price that they're doing for my radio tour. But you can also get it anywhere that you buy your books, at your local bookstore, or wherever the case may be. Thank you so much, guys, for having me on.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you soon. Mike Greenberg, better known as Greeny from ESPN, joining us here on the program. Really good stuff. And we love the Mount Rushmore, those conversations.
Well, throw it out there. I mean, do you guys agree with what he says is the top four Mount Rushmore? I found it interesting because we separated sometimes only
Oilers and Titans. Yeah. Well, because they're one of the few franchises. They're one of the few franchises that, you know, they do kind of continue the history. Now, I know the Colts do as well, going back to Baltimore. But, you know, Cleveland, it stayed in Cleveland. And I think kind of looking at it, that was the right move. You know, the now Utah Mammoth, the Arizona Coyotes, stayed in Arizona.
Yeah, I agree.
But they took originally they took the Winnipeg Jets. And then when the Winnipeg Jets came back, they gave them the history. So
has there been another franchise, you talk about all this stuff, who's drafted better running backs than the Tennessee Titans / Houston Oilers?
You have one in the Hall of Fame. You have one that's going to be in the Hall of Fame and one that there is an argument to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I mean, you got four of them that are outstanding.
And, you're right. And then another one who is now – a nominee for the Hall of Fame that I don't think gets in, but certainly had a respect. I mean, you have two 2,000-yard rushers.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only franchise to claim that. So, yeah, I would say so.
I mean, you go down the list of thinking other teams have drafted great running backs, that nobody compares to this franchise.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. We'll continue this discussion. Coming up next, live from the Omni Nashville Hotel at Barlines, 102.5 The Game.
Yes.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel here at Barlines. Our question of the day.
Describe the Tennessee Titans, the state of the Tennessee Titans currently with a country song. Let us know what you think that is. The responses have just been unbelievable. Mine is Loving You Is Wrong, I Do Want to Be Right by Barbara Mandrell. So let us know, 615-737-1025. Call us as well. Describe the state of the Tennessee Titans with a real country song.
Mine is dedicated to Brian Callahan, the late, great Tammy Wynette, D-I-V-O-R-C-E, because that's where this is going
that's
eventually.
That's such a sad song, too.
It is. Is that about George?
Yeah, written by the great Bobby Braddock, right? Isn't that the song still around? Yeah.
A few more. Eric Church, Give Me Back My Hometown. That's a good one. By the way, 8586 with a funny one. You're looking at it wrong. The Titans haven't lost a playoff game in 4 years. How many teams get to say that? Patrick says, Drinking My Baby Goodbye by the great Charlie Daniels.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
On Mike Greenberg's book, there are some of you that are like, how do you not have McNair on there? Again, it's hard because we separate the two. We look at the Oilers as a franchise and the Titans as a franchise. But I do kind of – I think Moon and Campbell, no doubt. Bruce makes a ton of sense because Bruce kind of bridged the gap. But I think you got to – I mean, Derrick Henry, though.
I mean, Bruce played 19 years in the offensive line.
Yeah.
At every position. He was an all-pro at center, guard, and tackle. He was one of the greatest offensive linemen of all time. I got no problem with him.
He might be the greatest.
He's right? So, yeah, I mean, that is a great – but nobody cares about the offensive line. That's the problem.
Kevin says, Legwon, come on, man. I wouldn't have David Legwon.
Chase and I think they were running out of time. Like, we got to get this to press.
Legwon. I don't think so. I think people look at him as he's the first pick, and so, you know, and he did hold a lot of the records for a while, but.
I thought he was going to say?
Mike Fisher. Who?
P.K. Subban.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be it.
I think Weber, Rene, Yossi, and really, truthfully, the fourth spot I think is still up for grabs if you're including non-players David Poyle.
Yeah, but no, he don't have a number. I get that. That's off. What about Darcy Hordichuk?
No. I mean, Mike Fisher, Philip Forsberg, probably be one of those.
One of my favorite – I love Darcy
Hordichuk.
There's
another one, and the Predators would hate me for saying this, and there are some fans that would hate me for saying this, but it's a discussion. Ryan Suter.
I think there's others.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd put Forsberg on before him.
Hordichuk told me one time that Paul Kariya got pounded on the ice, and Hordichuk was going in, and Trotz was like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going to go in and take care of this. And, like, he jumped on the ice and went in – fought whoever hit Korea.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, that's what you need, man.
Darcy's that guy.
A guy that's going to go in. And then he gave me 47 pairs of Crocs.
Merle and Mount Juliet, I'm so blue.
I'm so blue.
Randy, this is a classic. Crazy for trying, crazy for crying. Ugh. And I'm crazy for loving you.
That's a good – that right?
That is.
I mean, we still love this
written
team.
By who wrote it, Dr. Crane? Do you know who wrote that song?
Hank Williams Jr.
Nope.
They sold it for $50 to pay his rent.
Yep. That would be Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson. The legend has it he sold it to Harlan Howard at Tootsie's for $50. And then years later, the legend has it Harlan Howard came back and gave him like $500,000 or something. For that.
Really?
Yeah. That's the legend. That's the legendary story.
I didn't know that. 615-737-1025. We'll have more coming in hour number two. We're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel here at Bar Lines, 102.5 The Game.